and there is a war. Well, the war party got away with killing Dr. King and also the Kennedys. And it's been a sort of constant war ever since 1968. This country has been in one war after another. I believe right now we're engaged in about, six or seven separate wars. The so-called reason for this, I think George Bush the Elder was very concerned about breaking what he called the Vietnam Syndrome. I mean, Dr. King was killed because he came out against the war in Vietnam. Also, he was organizing a poor people's campaign, including white and black poor people who would camp out in the Washington Mall until something was done to relieve their poverty. So President Bush, we lost the war in Vietnam, and this sort of President Bush thought of it as a kind of a defeatist attitude on our part, and that we had to break this Vietnam syndrome. Well, what we've had since then is just one constant losing streak, one war after another. You can't say we won any of them except possibly the invasion of Grenada. Meanwhile, we're piling up huge debts while all our human services are being shortchanged. And sort of the blowback increases. For a long time, for most of its history, the U.S. was felt very secure behind its behind two big oceans, safe from all enemies. But we're in a situation now where the blowback has gotten to this country. You know, there's all the injured veterans, and plus the refugees from different war-torn countries, and the cyber attacks that can leap over any border or any ocean you want. And so we've had all these quagmires, 50 years of them, and now we have Donald Trump in the White House. Well, to me, I wonder, if I was more of a church-going guy, I'd think, gee whiz, maybe the deity put a curse on us. Well, it's probably not a curse. I'd say it's probably just karma at work. We've gotten the war state, the war party has gotten away with the assassinations, and they continue the wars, and people have been unable to stop them. We just have to suffer their consequences, and so they are still in charge, and now they are itching to fight somebody else. Six or seven wars is not good enough. Well, let's have another war. Donald Trump seems to favor going to war with Iran. It's hard to tell since he's so unstable. And he apparently is leaving Syria and North Korea off the hook for a while. We don't know that yet. He may change his mind, but he seems to be focused on going to war with Iran. Well, the Washington, sort of the insiders, the neoliberals, neoconservatives, they seem to be their gaze has been fixed on Russia now for quite a while, ever since the fall of the Soviet Union. And what happened then was that the Western economic advisors came in under Boris Yeltsin, and they helped Western interests loot Russia. This is where all the oligarchs we hear about now came from. There are over 100 oligarchs in the world, and just about all of them arose when Russia was being stripped of its assets. And this went on throughout the 1990s, until Boris Yeltsin had to leave office, and he was succeeded by Vladimir Putin, who was sort of an unknown quantity. Well, Putin, what Putin did was he put a stop to this looting, which is why he is so popular still. And he put a stop to this by, some say he wasn't able to, some of the oligarchs, they went to England. The oligarchs were opposed to him. There are other oligarchs who have made a deal with Putin. As far as I can tell, and that's, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that Putin has decided he can't get all the oligarchs, but he can at least make a deal with some that they can keep their wealth, but they got to pay their taxes to Russia. And that is sort of the way things are going now. In fact, it's very interesting that, and in the meantime, he apparently is picking off some of these billionaires one by one. Just the other day, there was a billionaire tycoon named Ziavuddin Magomedov, who is the co-owner of Russia's Summa Investment and Trading Group. And he has been arrested on suspicion of embezzling $44 million. So Putin is still going after these people, it seems, and probably with more to come. If anybody wants to call in with their questions or observations about this, the number is 503-231-8187. Well, Putin, the West, the Western looters have never forgiven Putin for this. I think that accounts for the constant hostility that we have put on this guy. It's you know, he certainly has his flaws, and you can't say he's a total Democrat, but the hostility that we keep aiming his way really is sort of it requires some sort of explanation. And as far as I can tell, it's this, that we have never forgiven him for stopping the looting of Russia. It's like being interrupted in some kind of a love act or something. It's we came so close to taking over that country, but now it's over with, and Putin apparently has got Russia back on economic track. And you really have to wonder why there's such a frenzy of hostility. You have to wonder why. And my explanation, and if people want to dispute it, is that the U.S. is basically running out of some resources, namely oil. We are being told all the time that we are sort of awash with oil from fracking and whatever, and that we are sort of an oil exporting country. Well, this is not true. We do export oil, but we still import oil, and we import more than we export. And the fracking way of drilling for oil is it's kind of like scraping the bottom of the barrel. You can only go so far. A fracking well does not last for very long. They deplete very quickly, and so this fracking situation we're in now is I don't think it can be expected to last. Meanwhile, Russia has quite a bit of oil left, so does Iran, and Russia, all the hostility to Russia is driving them closer to China and the other countries in Asia. And so in the future, we see this kind of Eurasian Economic Union slowly forming, which is where most of the world's population, and it's where a lot of the resources are still left. So Russia, Eurasia, including Russia, maybe sort of the last economic entity still standing after a resource crash. But we do have somebody on the line. Morning, Jack.
Oh, hi, Pear. Yeah, you're talking about this spy poisoning thing.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Okay.
Oh my goodness, that is that. What, I don't know. I don't know if you. I mean, if you can look around online and see a lot of discussion of this. I saw a very, very intense one, a couple of them actually, with Peter Lavelle's Crosstalk. I don't know.
Oh yeah, here I watched that quite a bit. Yes.
Oh yeah, he brings in people that that really know what they're talking about, and discussing this issue. It's so unknown, really, because mainly because the authorities are releasing no information about it.
That's right. Well, it's very interesting. One of the guests, a couple recently on that show, has been a British intelligence person named Annie Machon.
And actually, I saw that one. Yes,
I had her as a guest on this show. I don't know, several years ago, and she asked a very interesting question. You know, this Sergei Skripal. He was, he's been living in the UK now for, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and she asked, what has he been doing? And some interesting, apparently, well, his neighbor in Salisbury is a fellow named Pablo, can't think of the last name, who recruited him to be a double agent back 20 years ago. And now he's a neighbor, and they also, of course, a neighbor in Salisbury is a porting down chemical warfare facility. But Annie Machon asked, "What has he been doing all this time?" You know, he was sentenced as a traitor by the Russians, and then he I think he was given an 18-year term. Which is seems pretty short term for treason, but anyway, and then they released him in a prisoner swap, and that's how he got to the UK. And so she asked, "What has he been doing?" Well, apparently he's been pals with this fellow Pablo, and he's also there's some connections with the people who put together the that famous Steele dossier on Donald Trump. But this is all just a suspicion. We wonder what's going on here. But we don't have any real facts.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone, the world is just supposed to accept that British intelligence knows best, and don't question them. You
know? Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the speculation about it is that it's everything from an MI6 hit to some intrigues within the Russian community in England.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows, and they're simply not releasing, and we're left with all these expulsions and all the drama of this international intrigue and drama, and who benefits? Well, just as you pointed out, the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, so let me just say one thing. You know, it's very. You look at the timeline on this. Okay, March 4th is when Skripal and his daughter Yulia were poisoned. March 6th, 2 days later. The U.S. accused Russia of doing this on March 12th, which is 8 days after the event. Then British Prime Minister Theresa May also blamed Russia. And March 19th, the Organization to Prevent Chemical Warfare began collecting samples. And then March 26th is when all these Russian diplomats were expelled. I think it's about 150 of them altogether. And the interesting thing is, all these things have happened, but the investigation is still continuing. Well, if the investigation is still going on, how can you be certain about any conclusions? And so,
yeah.
What happens if the investigation shows that one of these other events happened, that it wasn't the Russians after all? Well, will the investigation be allowed to do that? Well, we shall see. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I don't know if we will or not. But I do have another caller on the line. So
okay. Anyway, thanks for keeping it in play.
Okay, thanks for calling. And we have somebody else on the line. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
My name's Elvina Taylor.
Okay.
And I was a nurse at the 97th Army Hospital in Frankfurt, West Germany, from 83 through 86.
Okay.
Putin was in Dresden, East Germany. I think he came there late 84, 85. What we saw was an amazing uptick of attacks on us. RPX was blown up.
Well, now, who was in East Germany?
He was him.
Oh, Putin.
Was working with the Stasi.
Mm-hmm.
Putin.
Okay.
Was working with the Stasi, which was the East German police, funding the Red Army faction and the Red Army Brigade in Italy. All right. My mom said a lot of news did not get to the United States. You did hear about the Berlin bombing, though. However, RPX was bombed. Our hospital that I worked in was a target. We had people die in Rhein-Main that they got through to. Putin was funding this. So it's really frustrating to hear all the hostility to Russia. You have to look at who Putin was. When the wall fell, he was in Dresden, and he even brags about having a pistol and protecting. He was very embarrassed about what happened to Russia. I have a lot of personal, you know, our consulate was bombed by the Red Army faction. All of this was funded by Putin. You have to remember who Putin is. They wined and dined Trump in 87. What is Rosneft? Right? You have to think about Rosneft. I mean, everything ties together, but you have to pay attention to everything.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do I have all the answers? I do not. But Putin, such a clear, what I hear you saying, and maybe I'm wrong, but having people attacked and die around you constantly because of this person, not constantly, it felt that way. It did feel that way. I think it was 85 that our kids put large concrete barriers in front of the hospital because, or not in front, well, they did in front of the hospital, but also in front of the kids' school, my kids' grade school. Because of the Red Army faction and Putin.
Well, some of these terror groups have been linked to some of our own intelligence agencies. There's been if you want to do some research on Operation Gladio. There was cases of.
I will certainly do that. I will tell you that. If you went through this personally, it would be frustrating to hear Putin getting a pass.
Well, if you go through something like that personally, you're very upset by it and you're looking for answers. I'm saying there are, the answers may not be the ones that we are being given. Check out the bombing of the Bologna railroad station, which is blamed on some terrorists, and it was part of a kind of a false flag thing. These things do happen. I don't know. I am not sure how you can. Putin was not the head of the FSB. He was not the.
He was KGB. He was KGB in Dresden, and he was working with the Stasi. The Stasi is East German police.
Right. Yes. Okay.
All right.
Well, there's a lot going on.
He was funding the Red Army faction.
How do you know he was funding the faction?
That was common knowledge. Here's the thing, is they were working to destabilize Europe, okay? It was really important to destabilize Europe at that time, all right? I'm sure they must have seen the economic factors that were coming down the road because Gorbachev, the reason the wall fell was not because Reagan said tear down that wall. There were economic factors already happening, okay, that that led to that. Going into East Germany, you could see there was a large decline. A lot of very, very shoddy. I bought toys for my kids in East Germany, and there were economic factors at play that were a problem there.
One thing that did happen after the wall came down, Gorbachev, he was persuaded by the West to allow for the reunification of Germany. And
that's right.
Right.
Yeah,
he was promised that Germany might become part of NATO, but that NATO would not advance any closer to Russia beyond the German borders. Well, we broke that promise. A bunch of other things happened that destabilized the whole situation. So I don't think it's Putin. I don't see that Putin is trying to destabilize things. I think he's trying to...
He was working for KGB
well,
at the time.
That does not
that
mean
was
that...
It was important to destabilize Europe. I hear what you're saying, but I think that you need to do some research.
Well,
also,
I would say the same about you too. We don't know all that stuff.
You had told me that already, and I said I would.
Okay. Well, all right. I don't think you can blame it all.
Putin is not our friend. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
it sounds like you can't hear that. So
should he be our friend?
He is not our friend.
Well, why should he be our friend? Why should it's like he is looking out for the interests of Russia, and he saw what happened to Russia under Yeltsin. That seems to be the main thing that drives his policy now. Also,
I'm saying is he cannot be trusted. If you are an American citizen, you should not be trusting him and giving him a pass.
Well, I think he would. He would say the same thing about us at in the light of. We have two sides that cannot trust each other then, and so this is a pretty serious situation. Adding more fuel to the fire is something else. It's not a good idea. There are people like Stephen Cohen, who's an expert on Russia, and he is very concerned that this new Cold War that's going on could possibly lead to a hot war, and this is very concerning to me and anybody else. We need to do I think I'm going to have to wrap up. I'm going to have to wrap up the show right now. We only got about a minute left, but thank you for your call. But I think that as far as destabilizing Europe goes, I don't think you can blame it all on Russia or the Putin or whatever. Our intelligence agencies have been doing a lot of destabilizing themselves. And so, like the Bologna Railroad Station was one good example. But we are here at Fight the Empire. We are doing research all the time. And so this is something that I will be checking out more. But as far as I can see, the West has been destabilizing things with Russia. And it's just not good. Where it leads to, gets a little concerning. So I hear my music playing. It's time to end this episode, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. At 10 o'clock, we have Air Cascadia. 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, James Anderson talks about his new novel, Lullaby Road. At 11:30, Black Book Talk looks at the advantages of being part of a writer's group.
On a ground day, the Tennessee kid awoke in a puddle of his own worst fears, haunted by the ghost of vague remembrance no corporeal beast could name. So the kid invoked Lucifer himself.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Is Home Birthright for Me? On Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m. at the Northeast Whole Foods Market in Portland, 3535 Northeast 15th Avenue. Local home birth midwives will show the film Why Not Home, followed by a QA session with the midwives. Again, that's Is Home Birthright for Me? On Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m. at Whole Foods Market, 3535 Northeast 15th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 5th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Diversity, Sanctuary, Solidarity, and Ethics at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm. Just look for that great big button, that big